the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower, and this week's show, it's probably one of those shows that you're going to want to think about, maybe listen to several times. I believe that the subject matter that we're going to cover today, it's really going to have a profound effect on the markets, even your savings, your home, your investments, taxes, retirement. As many of you listening are aware, we are less than 1 year away from a presidential election, which really could produce dramatically different outcomes for the economy and the markets. And that's going to impact you personally, from taxes to your investments to your financial and retirement plans. And I don't know that there's been an election that could alter the outcome as radically for the economy and the markets going forward. And in fact, Jim, several weeks ago, we did a show on the Morgan Stanley report on how the elections could alter the course of the country substantially depending on the outcome. The country could lurch hard left. Today and tomorrow's show, in fact, tomorrow's show, we have guest tax expert Chris Hennessy, and we're going to discuss the various outcomes, how you should plan for possible changes, and not only to the tax laws that will impact you directly, but also the financial markets before the actual elections. So, Jim, where do we begin?
Well, I think, Chris, probably the best place to begin is with the current tax laws, which will remain in effect till 2025 when they sunset, or they could end if, let's say, Donald Trump doesn't win re-election. Now, it's very important that Trump tax bill removed the deductibility of a lot of the things that we used to deduct on our tax returns. The big ones were the deductibility of state taxes and property taxes, that's the SALT, miscellaneous deductions, and even when it came to property taxes, it put a cap at $10,000. Now, many of you living in the Midwest, you go, big deal, you know, homes cost less. In San Francisco, the median price home is $1.3 million, so that does impact what people are able to deduct. And that has sparked a major tax exodus out of high-tax states, and Chris, the surprising thing, it really accelerated this year. Now, according to a recent report out this week by CNBC, 800,000 taxpayers are expected to flee New York and California this year alone. And we're not even talking about New Jersey, Connecticut, or even Illinois. New Yorkers are heading down to Florida, while Californians are heading to Texas, Arizona, in Nevada. It's not just the millionaires and upper-income individuals. According to the Wall Street Journal this week, major billionaires are leaving New York for Florida. That includes recently the headlines with President Trump, who is now making Mar-a-Lago his residence, hedge fund managers Leon Cooperman, David Tepper, Paul Tudor Jones, Barry Sternlicht, and financier Carl Icahn have all announced over the last couple months they've left New York and now made Florida their residence. Now, here's where this creates a problem. The problem the exodus creates, according to Moody's, many of these high-tax states now rely heavily for the wealthy to cover most of their taxes. For example, the governor of New York recently lamented that New York fell short by $2 billion in the last year. In other states, including our own state of California, are also at risk, along with New Jersey, Connecticut, and Illinois. According to the Journal, in 2017, let me give you an example, one state alone, the 100 top earners in the state of Connecticut paid over $1.1 billion in income taxes, equal to 12% of the state's total income tax revenue. Now, in Moody's analysis, they did a report out, which we covered on the weekend show earlier on in the year, and they did an impact on state budgets. What would happen to them in the next recession? And they kind of broke it down to a stoplight. Green states were those states that had surpluses, didn't have any financial problems. There were about 15 of them, Nevada, North Dakota being two of them, and Alaska. And then they had about 30 states, a little more than 30 states, are in what we call the yellow zone that could be in trouble. And at the bottom of the list was California. And then they had 15 states which were in the red zone. And Moody's analysis, the states that were progressively blue states with the highest income taxes are the most vulnerable during the next downturn because they rely so heavily on, let's say, upper income taxpayers to supply most of their tax revenues.
Jim, why do you think there's such a great exodus this year versus last year? And the reason why I ask, Trump's tax bill has been in effect really for several years now.
You know, Chris, I think most people don't realize when the tax bill went into effect in 2018, people heard about it. Maybe they read about it on the news, but they never really thought how it impacted them personally. Well, one of the reasons I believe you're seeing more people move this year is you had to file your 2018 tax return, and you filed that by April of this year. So I believe the other factor is the current presidential race, where, let's say, Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren win would result in dramatically higher taxes for everyone, including middle-class taxpayers, to pay for a single-payer healthcare system. So what is happening is many taxpayers are fleeing high-tax states due to the loss of the deductions as a result of SALT. Well, I think the billionaires are fleeing as they are now becoming targeted by Elizabeth Warren and Sanders. In fact, Warren is currently running TV ads featuring pictures of various billionaires, and she even has on her website a calculator of how much she's going to take of their wealth. So you've recently heard people like Bill Gates, to Leon Cooperman, to Carl Icahn talk about, you know what, there's something wrong if you take 100% of my net worth. So, but I want to point out, it's not just millionaires and billionaires who are going to be paying higher taxes. It's going to hit retirees. It's going to hit middle-class taxpayers through higher medical taxes for a single-payer system. It could impact the taxation of interest, dividends, and capital gains, along with higher Social Security taxes. We did a show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. There's two bills in Congress right now. One is by a congressman from Connecticut that would raise Social Security taxes by 1.9%. And there's also one in the Senate by Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon, who would pass the equivalent of an annual capital gains tax on anything that is appreciated in your portfolio, whether it's stock, real estate, or business, and it would be taxed as ordinary income. So every taxpayer is going to be impacted if the country moves more towards socialism.
Well, we all know about the tax on millionaires and billionaires, but how would you say most taxpayers would be impacted?
You know, I think for most people in this country, it's probably going to be Medicare for all. If it enacted, would result in higher Medicare or taxes or some new tax that would be added to pay for the cost of nearly $52 trillion. There would also be a rise in Social Security taxes. So retirees could be impacted, for example, by the elimination of favorable taxation of dividends or capital gains, and also a financial transaction tax of 0.5% on all security purchases and sales. Now, the problem with even the wealth taxes being proposed is they have a way of working their way down to the middle-class taxpayers. Let me give you a good example, and that is the alternative minimum tax. Now, when that was passed originally, it was done to extract taxes from wealthy taxpayers who use tax deductions, tax-free bonds, and tax shelters to lower their taxes. The problem is due to inflation creep, the AMT tax began to hit several million taxpayers every year, as the exemption and exclusion for the AMT tax were never indexed to inflation. Now, the Trump tax bill fixed most of that. The problem with all these programs, whether it's Medicare for all, free college, the Green New Deal, whatever you want to talk about, it's going to cost several hundred trillion dollars. And the point the billionaires are making, you could take all their wealth away, and you would still not be able to pay for all these programs, which is why I think much of this will probably, Chris, end up realistically being scaled back, or the country would go into a deep depression. You know, you have to admit, in an election year, that's when politicians kiss babies and hand out lollipops. Getting free stuff that rich people pay for sounds very attractive, but it may not be realistic.
So the Morgan Stanley report, and we discussed that report on the Weekend Show several weeks ago, but they discussed several outcomes. And I just want to review those briefly here. A blue wave where Democrats capture the White House, hold the House, and retake the Senate. A red wave where Republicans keep the White House and Senate and retake the House. Or a blue tide and red line. Now, in the blue tide, the Democrats capture the White House, keep the House, but Republicans hold the Senate. In a red line, things remain as they are today with Republicans holding the White House and the Senate, but of course not the House. They cite a greater probability of either a blue tide or a red line as being most probable, which of course that means a divided government. So Jim, the implications are that many of the radical proposals would actually end up watered down or maybe not even get passed. So if either of these scenarios, the red line or blue tide, if those end up being the outcome, what, if anything, actually changes?
You know, if the Democrats win, I believe you are going to see some form of higher taxes, whether it's on Social Security or Medicare, or they change the taxation of capital gains. Maybe they raise the capital gains tax and the tax on dividends. They definitely want to raise the corporate tax, which was lowered in the Trump bill from 35 to 21. But Chris, quite honestly, we won't know for more than a year when a clear runner emerges on the Democratic side by the time we get to next summer. The point being here, taxes are going up. We can see this in the demand for municipal bonds. We're seeing it in a number of people that are converting their IRAs to Roths. We're seeing it in LERPs, which are life insurance retirement plans. I suspect as either Sanders or Warren emerges as the likely candidate, it'll begin to impact the stock market as many will want to exit and take gains ahead of the market's reaction, especially if the election results in either a blue tide or a blue wave. Now, we think next year is going to become a very volatile year for the markets as these trends begin to emerge and become clearer. Right now, the market's basically ignoring this. For example, you're seeing the stock market up at record highs despite the impeachment hearings because everybody knows this is all political theater. It's no way with the Republican-controlled Senate that there would be 67 votes in the Senate to impeach the president. So that's why the market's basically ignoring this. But as we get closer into next year, as we get closer to the summer, when a real winner emerges on the Democratic side, then the party platform, what that candidate espouses, is going to have probably a more direct impact on the market. The one thing, however, that will not change is what we are seeing now, which is a growing exodus out of high-tax states to low-tax state, or in many cases, no-tax states. This trend, as the Wall Street Journal has reported, is accelerating this year and projected to accelerate next year. You may not be able to do much about your federal taxes, but you can do something about the state taxes by moving out of a high-tax state, which is what is happening now. And I want to go back to several years ago. I interviewed a prominent Wall Street analyst by the name of Meredith Whitney. She got fame during the financial crisis. She predicted it well in advance, and she wrote a book. It's called The Fate of the States, and I highly recommend reading it. And she talked about the new geography of American prosperity. And what she said is the next migration wave you're going to see in the next decade is going to be from the East Coast and the West Coast moving inland. And she basically equated states from Texas, Florida, all the way up to North Dakota as the next emerging market. That's where, for example, where's Apple building its new factories? It's building it in Texas. They're building them in Arizona. Where are a lot of tech companies moving? They're moving to Texas, New Mexico. They're moving to other states. And so, Chris, this began long before the tax issues began to surface, as many companies began to realize the cost of doing business, whether it was taxes, regulation, cost of living, was much cheaper in a lot of these states. And so this migration trend will probably be the biggest migration trend that we have seen probably since the 1950s, when it was kind of like, go west, young man, as everybody began to move out west to the Pacific Southwest. So we saw population increases in California, New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Washington, and Oregon. Well, the next population trend geographically is going to be the West and East Coast moving inward.
So clearly it's pretty obvious that that's something that someone can do to try to escape a lot of these tax penalties. But what, if anything else, should listeners be doing at this time?
You know, the one thing I would mention, and we've talked about this, and actually we'll probably do a couple shows on this in the new year, is if you are going to retire and you have, let's say, substantial assets in an IRA, you really should consider a Roth conversion this year and next year, because having a source of tax-free income is going to become more valuable to you, whether if Democrats win and begin raising taxes in 2021. Another issue, you might want to look at tax-free bonds as an investment. They're also something to consider if you are going to, let's say, stay in a high tax bracket. Something you should also start to consider is if you are considering moving and you own a McMansion, you might want to consider doing that now. As I discussed with my interview over the weekend with Ralph McLaughlin from CoreLogix, the McMansions in high tax states are falling in price. We're seeing this in New York City, in Manhattan, in the Hamptons. In fact, in our own city of California, in San Diego, one of the wealthiest communities in all of California is Rancho Santa Fe. A lot of billionaires live there. Real estate prices are down as much as 25% over the last year as the wealthy dumped their homes in an effort to flee the state. So McMansions are falling steeply, and especially high-tax states, California, New York, think Connecticut, New Jersey. So, Chris, this election, though, could have many twists and turns, and that's why I think the market's doing so well right now, because there is no clear winner, at least right now. So the market's basically taking a look at the economics, company earnings, the Fed's cutting interest rates. But Warren and Sanders' proposals are so radical, you are now seeing more moderate Democrats enter the race. Former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg is thinking of running. And the day we're doing this show, Bain Capital Director and former Obama consultant Deval Patrick announced he is running for president. So this race is far from over and still could go through many twists and changes before there really emerges a clear winner. But right now, just like when we did the show on the Morgan Stanley report, you've got three main winners: Biden, Sanders, and Warren. Everybody else that below that, I would maybe Pete Buttigieg, his poll numbers have moved up in the 6 and 7% range. But the other contestants, they're all down at 1 or 2%. So, you know, as we get into next year, we're going to look at those three major candidates, and eventually one candidate should emerge. And right now it's looking like Elizabeth Warren.
You know, it is interesting seeing what's happening with Buttigieg. A coworker was telling me today that Bill Clinton did not enter the presidential race until October of this election cycle. So you really can't count anyone out just yet. So it's really going to be interesting to see who actually ends up being the nominee on that side. But Jim, given all the uncertainty, I mean, you mentioned the possibility of moving, maybe doing a Roth conversion, but what should investors do? I mean, would you recommend that they stand pat? I mean, should they make changes or maybe prepare for eventual tax hikes since we don't know who's going to enter the White House? I mean, is it, you know, prepare for a bear market, recession, or maybe should someone just stop watching the news and keep their blood pressure down?
Yeah, probably the latter. You know, I think moving to a low or no tax state makes a lot of sense. The cost of living's cheaper, taxes are lower or non-existent, which is important if you're considering, for example, doing a Roth conversion, which we're big proponents of. And I also believe tax-free bonds or a life insurance retirement plan is also in order. As tax rates move higher, having tax-free assets such as municipal bonds, a Roth IRA, or a LERP are going to become more important. And also, I think moving to a tax-free state is also appropriate. That is where the next migration wave is taking place that will accelerate even faster over the next decade as more and more boomers head into retirement and taxes go up for all Americans, whether they're poor, middle class, or rich.
Well, folks, definitely stay tuned. We're going to keep you posted as more news becomes available. And of course, as this campaign unfolds with a clear winner emerging next year, and also as we get closer to the summer political conventions, and that's when we'll know who the Democrats nominate and the party develops a platform that they intend to implement should they win. Of course, it's going to impact all of us, just as Trump had a platform, which he has implemented since becoming president. But in the meantime, enjoy the ride as financial markets are hitting new records. And by the way, tomorrow, we're going to be speaking with tax expert Chris Hennessy. I made mention of this a few minutes ago, but he's going to be discussing year-end tax moves and the implications of all of these tax proposals.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week. We'll be right back.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.